This is the Afternoon Magazine on AM 580 and online at WILL.UIUC.edu. Good afternoon. I'm Celeste Quinn. First Friday of the month. First Friday in July. So dog trainers Carolyn Hum and Jim Keel are with us this afternoon. They join us once a month on the first Friday of the month to talk about dogs. They're with the Dog Training Club of Champaign-Urbana, and they're happy to answer your questions about dogs. You can join us on the telephone, 333-9455, the number to call in the Champaign-Urbana area. That's 333-WILL. Anywhere else, toll-free, 800-222-9455. 800-222-WILL. Hello. Welcome back. Good to see you.
Good afternoon, Celeste.
I hate summer. I hate July.
Yeah. How are the males doing?
They look at me and say, when is it going to be winter?
Yeah.
It's They're tough. Hot. I'm hot. I'm hotter. At least they have the sense not to run around in the heat.
Yeah.
Not me.
Yeah. And how are your guys?
They're fine. They're in the house.
Yeah.
Chilling. I don't have the air on, so I get that look. I know you know how to make this house cooler. And why are you not doing it?
I think you're going to turn that air on this weekend.
When you guys pony up and give me something for the power bill, I'll be happy to turn the air on. Yeah. The house is nice and cool.
Is it? That's good.
Once it heats up, then it's time, but it stays cool. Yeah. Inhabitants don't, but the house is comfortable.
Speaking of weather, you guys had great weather. There was great weather for the dog show.
That was perfect.
Last weekend at the fairgrounds.
Couldn't have been better.
And it was a fun time.
Did you get a good turnout?
No.
Well,
we're not in that club.
Yeah, that's
However,
the AKC.
It's the Kennel Club.
Kennel Club, okay.
CIKC.
Well, half of you was in that club.
From the torso up, what?
Robin.
Oh, Robin, yeah.
The better
half. Well.
That's right. That's what I should have said.
Then it would have made more sense. Yes, Robin's in the club, and so I was there. We didn't show anything this year, but a lot of friends came down, and we picked Nicked on the grounds 2 days, Saturday and Sunday.
Oh, your friends, his friends have this huge motorhome. And I was walking by, I see them there every year, but in the front, in the windshield, there's how many little stuffed Malamutes?
Little Malamutes.
It is the cutest thing. And I saw it and I started laughing. He said, this is my wife's idea. But you know how big those motorhomes are and that windshield and all these little tiny stuffed Malamutes wherever you look. I thought it was quite cute.
It is a big motorhome.
It's a huge motorhome.
Yeah. It's a Malmobile.
Yes, it's huge. I just went for the day. I didn't show. I just went to enjoy the friends I've made over the years and see some nice dogs.
Both of them, yeah. probably saw both and then went home.
And it was just a marvelous day. I talked to you, Sam.
Oh, you did? Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it was just a beautiful day. Then I went and ran some errands, and then I came back and stayed for groups.
The nice thing is when you don't have a dog entered, as we did not, you really don't care who wins.
Well, yeah.
Somebody's going to win. You know, okay, congratulations.
I was happy for friends of ours that won. He got a group two with his bloodhound, so that was very nice.
So you can socialize.
Oh, yeah.
You can picnic.
Sit there with your chair at ringside. And then since it's right here.
We can Surrey.
You can just go
picnic.
Home. You know, you don't have to go back to the motel. Just go home and enjoy. I didn't go back on Sunday, but I did enjoy Saturday immensely.
Okay. This is the Afternoon Magazine. We're talking with dog trainers Jim Keel and Carol Lindholm this afternoon on the program. Jim and his wife Robin raise Malamutes. Carol has a golden and a doodle. And remind me again what the doodle stands for. I always
golden doodle. She's golden,
golden
retriever
doodle.
Poodle. Okay. Right. Cross that was relinquished because she shed too much. She's a designer dog.
Designed,
I don't call her that at home. She doesn't need anything more to go to her head. She would be considered a designer dog. I'd deliberately take two breeds and cross them and come up with, theoretically, a new breed. So
you can do that. It takes, I think, about 10 generations before it breeds true.
And I don't know. I saw one today on campus, a very nice-looking dog. It was, I think it was a CCI dog because it had the CCI backpacks on. Very nice-looking doodle.
Remind us what CCI stands for.
Oh, I'm sorry.
For, yes, the technical jargon flying around.
Canine Companions for Independence.
There you go. Thank you. Now, please continue.
I'm sorry. You know, it's really funny, but when you just assume everybody knows what you're talking about because we think
I assume you don't know what you're talking
everybody
about.
Everybody knows these things. But anyway, it was a very nice-looking doodle, and I don't know if it's a labradoodle or a golden doodle, apricot in color, with probably the more the type coat I think they were striving to achieve. The Labrador Retriever and Standard Poodle cross occurred first in Australia. How many years ago? 20 years ago? They were specifically breeding these
Maybe
crosses.
Maybe the dingo ate your baby.
Specifically breeding this cross for their guide dog for the blind program in Australia. And that's where they started. I remember this because my neighbor's children lived in Australia, and it was a very popular breed if they washed out from the program, that they were popular as pets. And for ease of their coat care and that type thing. But anyway, I don't know when they've started to appear here, maybe 7 or 8 years ago. I don't know.
Is there a national Labradoodle club?
I don't know. I don't know if there is. I know there's Doodle Rescue out there. All you have to do is Google Golden
Google
Doodle.
Google
Doodle.
What have we become?
This is the Afternoon Magazine. Listeners, if you've got a question about dogs, dog care, behavior, training, give us a call, 333-9455. That's 333-WILL. Anywhere else, toll free, 800-222-9455. 800-222-WILL. So what's going on at the club, the dog training club of Champaign-Urbana this summer?
Classes have started. I'm taking a puppy through puppy class.
One of your own?
Well, in a sense, we have Daddy, and Mommy lives in Columbus. How I hate Ohio State. We have a call.
I got a couple calls.
Oh, so good. We're spared the story.
We'll come back to the story. How's that?
Probably not.
Okay. Let's talk with a listener. In Urbana, on line one. Hi.
Hi. I'm calling more to thank Jim after I got my standard dachshund puppy about 3 years ago. He was not my first dog, but he was my very first challenging dog. And I called Jim in a panic one afternoon, about ready to throw the towel in. And he was very encouraging to me and gave me a few very good, simple obedience classes to go to, and I just want you to know, 3 years down the line, he is the most loved pet and worth it for the challenge. And I'm just calling to thank him.
Isn't that nice?
Yes.
But that's it. I'll listen to the rest offline. Thank you very much.
Thanks for the call.
Hardly anybody says thank you.
So what kind of advice did you share?
I don't remember the exact advice. I remember the dog, and it was more of a puppy. I think it was a lot of socialization exercises and things like that, which I'm not an expert on, but Robin is. She may have come to the training class, too, that we always tell people, bring the dog and standing around in a class, even if they don't ever sit, is very good for the dog. If nothing else, they get in the car and go for a ride and don't end up at the vet's.
Mm-hmm.
So that's always a plus for the dog anyway. And, they like talking to the other dogs. And
they love class. And the people recognize it because they'll tell us when they turn the corner, they know. I had in my last class the nicest couple with the most marvelous little Australian Shepherd, I think it was a Border Collie mix. He knew it was Monday night. And they didn't want to go to class because they had just gotten a new horse and they were painting and something else. And he's like,
they were painting their horse?
They were painting the house.
Oh, house.
And they bought a new horse.
Oh.
Anyway, he was looking at them like, okay, it's Monday night. We have to be there at 6:30. And he jumped in the car and he said, well, he, not only does he know where he's going, he knows what night he goes.
Yeah. Let's take another call. Listener in Champaign, line two. Hi.
Hi. I had a question. I have a new neighbor, and they built a house next to me, and they have a horse of a Labrador, and that dog wanders freely. It shows up in my garage. It leaves dog dirt on my property, and I don't like dogs, and I'm wondering what I could do to make my place less attractive to it.
go next door and talk to the neighbors and say, that. "Hey, oh, that didn't work." Huh?
No, they did not do anything. The dog still wandered.
You don't live in the city, I take it.
I live nearby, a place with the leash law.
Well, then you can do. We had a similar situation in our neighborhood, and the dog would jump the fence into the neighbor's yard, and she was just lonely and wanted to play. But they finally did have to say that if she did it again, that they would call animal control. And, while it's not the dog's fault, you understand, it's the owner's fault.
Oh, I understand that perfectly, but...
But you might want to back that up.
There are commercial products that...
Liquid fence,
things that are supposed to be malodorous to a dog, although dogs...
Liquid fence is malodorous to people, too.
Yeah, well... you could try that; those kinds of things. But making a place unattractive to a dog.
He doesn't even recognize that there's a difference between your yard and theirs. He doesn't have any clue.
Dogs just don't understand real estate very well, and private ownership. So if he comes over to your house and finds something interesting,
he'll be back.
He'll be back, and. I always said if a dog finds a hole in the fence, you could put a concrete bunker there. The dog will go there every day of its life after that just to see if the hole is still there. So once they get rewarded for coming over to your place...
No. They do not get rewarded.
No.
They get showered with firecrackers.
No, you don't do that.
No, I'm not saying... when we dog trainers use the word reward, we don't mean... We give them $25,000 for shooting Jesse James. What we mean is something positive happens.
Oh, positive happens in my yard when that dog comes.
Well, then, I think you need to talk to your neighbors. We can't solve your problem.
Okay. Thank you.
Next, we take a call from Marshall, Illinois, line 4. Hi.
I'm calling. My family and I reside with my mother, and she has a schnauzer about a year old now, and we've been with it since puppyhood. And it's a great dog. It actually likes me better than my mom, which is driving my mom crazy. But she's had it to 2 rounds of dog training, which went really well, but it's still a pretty snippy dog. And the trainer said that schnauzers, I'm assuming from, years of breeding, are becoming more so that way. But I didn't know what you recommend to help it be, if someone picks it up, it'll kind of snip at them. It doesn't do that to me, but it does it to everyone else in the house. So I'll get off the phone and listen to your advice.
You might want to hang on here because they might have some questions for you.
Okay.
Okay.
How old is it?
She's just a year old now.
When you say snip, what do you mean?
You could pick her up some times of the day and not have the first problem. But other times, if you try to pick her up, say, from a chair or the bed, which, our dogs are everywhere. That's just how we are. She might kind of turn to nip at you. She's never really bitten anyone, per se. I know I've talked to the groomers, and when she gets groomed, she's pretty, she might yip and snip at them if she doesn't like something they're doing. She doesn't seem to be in any pain or distress. It's just kind of a alpha power thing, it seems like.
Except for the groomers.
Yes.
Why are you
probably
picking...
Probably not her favorite place.
Yeah, why are you picking
Why do
her
you
up?
Pick her up? I mean, it...
Pardon?
Well, Carol and I have dogs that weigh 80, 90 pounds. We never pick our dogs up.
Okay.
I'd like to, but
so
I
can't. So we listen to somebody say, I have a problem when I pick up my dog, and we're going, boy, this is foreign to us. So when you're picking the dog up, is it why are you doing it? To move it from one place to another?
We're moving it from a place. For instance, she'll come into our part of the house, say, through the evening, and then to go to bed, I'll take her back to my mother's part of the house. And so to move her from a chair, and like I say, she doesn't do it to me, but if my husband or my daughter, who's 14, were to pick her up, she might do it then. Maybe to pick her up to put her in the car.
I'd put her on a leash and move her around that way. I wouldn't pick her up.
Okay.
Yeah, I was going to – it's a training technique where you leave a kind of a leash or a rope on the dog all the time.
A real lightweight one.
A lightweight one. Mm-hmm. But you don't leave it on the dog when you're not around because it – can get wrapped
right.
up and choke them. But if they get on the, and it's fine that they get on the, at least at our house, it's fine they get off the furniture or get on the furniture. But in order to move her, instead of picking her up, You just grab the end of the lead and pull her off. And that way she can't nip at you.
It kind of puts you in the driver's seat a little bit, too. If she doesn't want to get off the chair, well, sorry, I want to sit there, and you can't.
Where are her toys?
They are on the floor. They're accessible all the time.
Okay.
My mother, she's done this her entire life. But my mother recently, in the last 3 months, got a new puppy, and she is great with the puppy. She's a little protective of, you know, any kind of toy bone that has...
Oh, you have two dogs in the house?
Yes.
Okay.
And she's done this. She's a great dog. We also have cats that she gets along with. She's pretty good with children. It's just the moving her from one point to another. And she's very maternal toward the other dog, because I thought the trainer did say that she's such a strong-willed dog that she thought that, you know, we might have some problems with her, kind of over-alpha problems, but... She really has been very maternal toward the puppy. She's really friendly, but when she doesn't want to go somewhere...
Where does she sleep?
She sleeps either in our bed or in my mother's bed.
When you feed her, when do you feed her, before or after you eat?
Mom has food down for her all the time, but she will come and wait. We don't feed her at the table, but she'll come and wait at the table until we've eaten. She does like to have someone around when she eats. You know, she's more likely to eat if we're home sitting in the room with her.
This may sound strange. However, if you are having a dominance problem and a dog that's nipping may have that. Everybody thinks every problem that a dog has is dominance, and it's usually not. But this may be. The first thing you want to do is not let her sleep in your bed.
Okay.
Where does the puppy sleep, I wonder? Where is the puppy sleeping?
The puppy kind of varies between... The puppy never sleeps in with us. She's always in with my mom or in on a dog bed with my mom. She kind of goes back and forth.
Okay.
Well, the millions of dogs sleep in bed with their owners, and there's never a problem. But if there is a problem, generally speaking, it's a dog that sleeps in bed with the master. And the reason is... From the dog's point of view, where's the best place in the house to sleep? It's wherever the alpha sleeps.
Mm-hmm.
So if you guys are alpha and you're sleeping in this kind of clothy thing, well, then I'll sleep there too, and I'll have a fairly high status myself.
Mm-hmm.
So the first thing to tell the dog, look, don't nip at us. You don't have the authority to do that, is to move the dog out of the bedroom. All right? So that the dog says, oh, wait a minute, this is the best place to sleep. All the alphas sleep here. I'm not sleeping there. I must not be an alpha. The second thing you do is pick up all the toys and give the dog the toys when you want the dog to have the toys, not whenever the dog feels like it. The third thing is to feed the dog after you eat. If you're free feeding, that's a little bit of a problem, and I'm not suggesting changing that. You may have to change it, though, if you have two dogs. It's easy to free feed one dog. It's kind of hard to free feed two because, for one thing, you don't know who's eating the food. But for another, it leads to disputes once the puppy gets a little more mature. You may find them fighting over the food.
I would never free feed with two dogs.
That's good advice, too, then.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We can't because... They'll kill each other over a morsel. Arrgh, get away from my food.
Well, this dog was I felt dominant enough that when we got the puppy, we really worried. But I have to say that she's really, like I said, she's been genuinely maternal toward the dog. But
that's because the puppy is submissive to her and says, you're the alpha, which is exactly what she wants to hear.
So we just need to take away some of that alpha status.
Yeah, there's no violence here. You're not kicking the dog or anything like that.
No.
Yeah, you're saying, okay, who controls the toys? The alpha dog controls the games, all right? I'm the alpha. I pick up the toys. You get a toy when I say you get a toy. You don't sleep with me. You eat when I say you eat. And those are the kinds of things that the dog is just built to understand that means they're not the alpha. And I think you'll see a lot less nipping as time goes on. Obviously, picking up the toys, the dog isn't going to be cured that day, but it'll take a little while.
The house line would work very well.
The house line is good to prevent nipping, especially with the younger kids. Grab the line.
Yeah, and you just move her. I mean, you don't have to pick her up. Matter of fact, don't pick her up at all.
Okay.
The problem with that is you're not telling her she's not alpha.
Mm-hmm.
You're avoiding the problem, and there's nothing wrong with that, avoiding the problem, because you don't want to be bit, you don't want to go through all that.
Mm-hmm.
But
because nipping could lead to biting very easily.
Sure.
She's warning you. I don't want to be moved.
Mm-hmm.
So when she nips, what does everybody do? Leave her alone?
No, we're all alphas ourselves, I guess, because we all sort of say, you know, we kind of give her a commanding voice and take an authoritative tone and go ahead and move her.
That's good.
And like I say, she's never hurt anyone. She's not a huge dog. She's probably a medium-sized miniature schnauzer. So,
yeah. But you don't want the day to come when she ramps it up a notch and, you know, she's going to...
No, and we do have children around, and that's the thing that worries me. She's at about a year, but I know she'll continue to develop probably for another year. I don't all of a sudden want her to start to think that it's okay, because they will be fearful.
Well, all you have to do is have her nip at you once and you withdraw your hand. And she says, oh, that was pretty effective.
That worked.
I think
fine.
I'll try that again.
Wow.
Well, that's a natural reaction is to withdraw.
Yes. Four great tips. Thank you.
What kind of puppy did your mom get?
Actually, it was a gift. This has never happened to us before. It's a Yorkie poo. I know I just heard part of your conversation about the Labradoodle. And it's a phenomenal dog. It's a male. It's tiny, and she's had some replacement surgery, joint replacement, so she's not in great physical condition.
How old is the puppy? Oh, your mom or the puppy?
My mom.
Okay.
The puppy's in phenomenal condition, but actually she got the schnauzer, and it ended up being bigger than most schnauzers we've had in my life. So the puppy is a little bit more malleable, but I also think she got the puppy because for some reason the schnauzer likes me best. I must be the alpha to her.
Probably.
So now she has a favorite dog, too.
Oh, that's good. It's, you know, all these situations can, and if we tell you, you know, she can't sleep in your bed, that's not a forever thing. She can earn her rights to come back up there. It's just you have to be cognizant of what you're doing.
Well, and we'll all sit down and talk about it, because she's a great dog. We love her, but the last thing in the world I'd want is for her to ever hurt someone or for us to have to put her down because she hurt someone. Because
she's being a brat.
I only have anecdotal evidence, but the people that have been nipped by their dogs, and I ask, where does the dog sleep? And 100%, you know, in bed with me, I can't say 100% success, but I remember one kind of Labrador that the next week I said, how's it going? And it had just literally stopped nipping in just a week of not sleeping in bed. So,
well, we will try it for sure. Thank you.
You're welcome. And call us back next time.
Oh, I'd love to hear from you again. We heard it was John Rogerson, wasn't he the
Rogerson
speaker?
Yeah, this is 100% Rogerson, by the way, if you can get one of his books, John Rogerson. Yeah.
But it's so important when people listen to us and they listen to these problems that they don't think that that's their problem that they've got to solve. Because if you have a dog that's not a dominant dog, that's a submissive dog, you're not reading it right, you're causing a horrible problem by using techniques on the wrong animal. So... No, Andy can be a real brat.
I think we can make snap judges on the radio without seeing the dogs, based on what people say.
Well, I'm just thinking if somebody's at home and they think, oh, well, you know, my dog must be alpha because he's laying on the couch. I don't know.
Well, as I said,
take everything with a caveat.
A lot of dogs sleep in bed with people, and there's never a problem. It's not. It doesn't go that way, but if there is a problem, you know, almost always they're sleeping in bed.
And I don't know. I had – Andy's a brat, and it's my fault. But she decided one day she didn't want Robbie up on the bed. Okay? She's like, no, sorry. I'm up here. You're on the floor. Well, neither one of them got on the bed that night. That was it, period. You can't sleep up here either. So it just hurt my feelings for him. And I remember Tracy, because that's when I first experienced this kind of behavior. And we were laying on the couch, and she was at the end of the couch. And I just stretched my feet out and kind of tickled her a little bit, and she snapped at me. She was off that couch before I even realized what I was doing. I mean, that was it. She'd lost that privilege right then and there. So, and that was before I knew what I was doing. I mean, it just was, you know, it just seemed a natural thing. No, you can't be up here now. You lost that right.
So you kicked her in the stomach and she reacted?
No,
it was her
I didn't.
Fault?
It was just an affectionate thing, and she just didn't want to be touched. And so she snapped, and that was it.
You're out of here.
You're out of here. You can't be. You lay on the floor.
Yeah. This is the Afternoon Magazine. Dog trainers Carol Lindholm and Jim Keel are with us this afternoon. They join us once a month on the first Friday of the month to talk about dogs. They're here to answer your questions about dog care, behavior, and training. They're with the Dog Training Club of Champaign, Urbana. 333-9455, the number in the Champaign, Urbana area. That's 333-WILL. Anywhere else, toll-free, 800-222-9455, 800-222-WILL. No one is waiting at the moment.
No, they're all everybody's sweating.
So back to the club. You've got any events coming up?
The agility trial will be in 2 weeks from tomorrow, Saturday and Sunday, and I forget the dates. Tomorrow is the 7th, so it would be the 21st and 22nd.
Correct.
I know my calendar. And today is the closing.
To enter.
To enter.
Okay.
So if you want to just go and watch, everybody's invited. It starts at around 8 o'clock in the morning.
And it's indoors.
It's indoors.
Air-conditioned comfort.
And ends when it's over when it's over. It's not a timed event. Well, I suppose.
3-4.
Individual. Probably 2 four. Or 3 o'clock.
Yeah. They're fun to watch. And get the bug to do something fun like that with your dog.
Okay. And leave your dog at home if you're going to come and watch.
It's pretty tight quarters anyway. Mm-hmm. So, but leave him. It's more than likely going to be hot, so just leave him at home.
Okay.
Come home and tell him about it.
Let's talk with another listener. Matt Toon, line 4. Hi.
Hi. We've got a Golden Retriever and 2 Westies. The Westies belong to my father. We had moved in with him to care for him, and he has since passed away. When we moved our retriever in, too, initially there didn't seem to be a problem between the dogs, but apparently the retriever backed into one of the Westies. The Westie nipped, and ever since things have just broken loose. They don't get along. Wondering if you had some suggestions on how to, I guess, reintroduce them or try and modify behavior to so that we can have them in the same part of the house together.
Tough problem.
Yeah, but see, this is where Jim is good because I've only had 2 dogs. And when you have 3, you go from 2 dogs to a pack.
Yeah. Well, 2 dogs can be a pack. It's a tough problem. The Malamutes don't all get along, and they, especially the males, will fight with each other for what to us is no apparent reason. If anything will work, and I'm not confident that anything will work, what you should do is take them to a neutral corner, that is the park or someplace like that. Your lab, I take it he wasn't living in the house till the Westies came.
No, the
Westies were there.
We moved in with my dad. Uh-huh. He had the Westies. We brought in the retriever, the golden retriever.
How long ago was this, by the way?
Oh, about a year.
And they got along for a year before.
Well, I wouldn't say that. They got along for a couple of months, okay, and then. Mm.
Then you had the incident.
The incident, and ever since we've basically had to keep them separated.
We have the
Westies. One's a 14-year-old male, a 12-year-old female.
Who did the nipping? The male or the female?
I think it was the male initially.
He's the one that got stepped on.
The female then became a cheerleader, and she's the yappy one, and. Initially, the retriever is very docile. I don't think that she's a spayed female.
Well, she's defending herself now.
Initially, that was the case.
Yeah.
Now she seems to be a little bit more aggressive, which is really out of character for her.
When she first moved in, probably she recognized the area as belonging to the Westies. You know, this was not her home.
Earth, yeah.
Yeah.
And as she, over time, it starts to occur to her, gee, I'm not leaving, so this must be my area. Mm-hmm. The Westies, on the other hand, have this big dog intruding, but they're not dumb enough to say, let's attack this big dog because it's too big. So they make their kind of peace. I'm in your territory, which dogs respect a great deal. And you're bigger than I am, which they also respect. Then after everybody gets used to each other, the lab starts to think, well, this is my territory, really. And the Westies start to think, well, this is kind of a docile dog. I can go ahead and do what an alpha dog does. In other words, the Westie nips at her. He's not attacking her. He's disciplining her. And she says, no, you don't understand. I'm the alpha here. You can't discipline me. I discipline you. And now you have a dominance fight. How do you get around that? It's tough. Take them to a neutral territory like a park. Feed them cookies. Pet them. If they know any obedience at all, have them do a sit or a down together. Have them walk around, not walk around with you. They're both loyal to you, and they'll have this kind of common experience. When you get home, hook everybody up, get them in the same room, and just have them on leashes, so they can't get at each other, but they can be in the same room together. And once again, good dog, here's a cookie, so they have kind of positive experiences. And I do that for, how long would you say, a week?
Weeks.
Week or two before you let them actually commingle again. What concerns me, the Westie, if he got bumped by the lab, the Westie at the age of 14
is a golden. It's a golden.
I keep saying lab.
Yes, you do. It's irritating me now.
Okay, sorry. The only thing in my head was retriever.
The golden retriever.
The retriever, yeah, and I'm thinking of Labrador, sorry.
But the age factor is...
Yeah, he might have bumped the dog, and the dog
that 14-year-old
has arthritis
hurts,
or something.
Yeah.
And you might, with the Westies, you might have that checked out. You know, some aspirin or something might help the Westies. Probably got arthritis, and getting bumped probably just hurt
And they're terriers. They're going to act different than your retriever, mm-hmm. always.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they're...
Do you walk them?
A little bit. The retriever gets walked. The Westies go out in the backyard.
And you know what would be kind of interesting to do is to walk all three of them at the same time.
I would have two people.
Yeah, two people.
Definitely.
Yeah, but two people walk all three dogs at the same time. So that, you know.
Mm-hmm. You're off the property.
You're off the property. You're all getting walked. We're all going to behave ourselves and just leave this nonsense at home. And it'd be good for them. It's different. I would do that.
Okay.
I wouldn't be overly confident. I would never leave them alone.
Right.
Together. But I think if you do these things, you can have them at least in the house while you're there without a fight.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
Okay. Good luck. Let's take another call. A listener in Urbana on line one. Hi.
Hi there.
Hi. What can we do for you?
I have a one-year-old miniature Australian Shepherd who tears the stuffing out of my comforter while I sleep and my pillows when I'm gone.
Do you have a crate?
And this is a problem because... Oh.
Yeah. I do have a crate, and she was fine up until about 3 days ago, and then it's just...
Ah, fireworks, maybe.
Yeah. Did she hear all the fireworks and...
She slept through the fireworks.
Well...
Good
that wasn't
guess,
the
though.
Answer we wanted from yeah. you.
Good guess.
So what happened 3 days ago in her
I
little life?
I have no idea. Nothing changed. All her Nyla bones are still out.
So you woke up one morning and you had no blankets left, no comforter left?
Well, I had the comforter on top of me. It was just flat.
It wasn't comforting
you sleep
anymore.
Soundly, don't you?
Oh, I do. Very.
Okay, so then you got up with your flat comforter and went to work and came home and found no pillows.
Right.
Something changed in your life you're not telling us.
No, nothing did, I swear. It was just that day. I don't know if... I mean, I didn't correct her that morning because I figured it was too
pointless,
late.
Yeah.
It was already over. So I just took that blanket away and I put down a different blanket.
And?
And she left that blanket alone.
She didn't like your decorating taste, maybe.
Maybe.
She said, I've had a year of this. It's enough.
Here,
I don't know.
Here's an old one. Did you
How
change...
How do you know she slept through the fireworks? How do you know she slept through the fireworks if you could sleep through her destroying your comforter?
Because when she gets scared, she gets right on top of me.
Did you change laundry detergents or softeners or anything like that?
No, nothing.
Did you move?
You're making this up.
No, I didn't. So should I just leave her in her crate and then test it?
Well, I wouldn't, you know, unless...
It's a tough problem because she was so heavily rewarded for tearing it up. In other words, you were there. You didn't say stop.
You slept.
You were asleep.
Right.
But she, you know, and boy, is it fun to tear apart a comforter.
Tuesday?
Yes.
So it's before the...
Well, they've been shooting firecrackers in my neighborhood all week long. I hate that. Tuesday. So something significant on the 3rd of July. Huh. How long have you had her?
2 months.
How old is she? A year?
A year.
So she was 10 months when you got her?
Yeah.
Gee, I feel so bad if we can't come up with an answer. I feel like I'm buying her a new comforter.
Well, under what circuit? Was this a rescue dog? Did you get it from a breeder? Did you get somebody? Yeah, okay. When dogs first move into a new home, especially adults, it takes them a while to get oriented toward, you know, the new place. They're kind of intimidated because they don't recognize it as their territory. And as we were saying before, once the dog figures out they're not leaving, which may take a while.
Right.
German Shepherds, I've heard, like 6 months before they go, oh, this is now my new home. But once they get over that.
So are you saying, since you're so philosophical today,
well,
she's over it and now she decided to
eat
the comforter?
I have a feeling she may be in rescue because...
She ate a comforter?
She was a fairly destructive puppy. And
do tell.
Went into rescue, came to the new home and said, I'm going to be good here because this isn't my home. And then...
They call it the honeymoon period.
Suddenly last summer, suddenly
on the 3rd
last
of July,
Tuesday, she said, I guess I'm going to stay here, and this comforter looks mighty, mighty fun.
I think you should get some no-dos.
to stop this kind of, it's kind of tough.
Or spray bitter apple on your comforter. You know, if you don't, do you crate her at all?
Bitter. I do.
Yeah.
I did a lot when I first got her, but the first month when I wasn't there, she was crated, and then at night she was crated.
I know, and that makes you feel awful, doesn't it?
It didn't make me feel so bad because, you know, she had to get adjusted, and I couldn't trust her at that point. And then I would leave her out sometimes when I was at work, and I'd come home, and nothing, you know, nothing was destroyed. She hadn't gone through the trash can. You know, she was just asleep on the bed, and then I came home the other day, and, you know, my pillows are destroyed, and that night...
Something set her off. I remember, it's a confidence that's poorly grounded, and I thought Robbie was the most perfect dog ever born, and I started leaving him out loose during the day at about 6 months old. Came home every day, nothing. He did nothing wrong. He was just thrilled to see me. I came home at lunch, so he was never alone too long. And then I came home one day to find the contents of the couch pillow, the thing you sit on, the cushion, mm-hmm. all over the living room. And he had unzipped it. He's smart. Unzipped the cushion and ripped all the stuffing out. And it was like, I thought, well, you know, it's really my fault.
Right.
Why would I think he would do that? And I put it back together, and he went back. I didn't have him crated at that time. Then he had progressed to being behind a baby gate. And back he went. And as much as I felt badly about it, I thought, well, you know, it's my fault, but he's obviously not to be trusted yet.
Right.
So that might be what you're experiencing. I don't know.
Yeah, the only 100% way to guarantee that the dog won't do it is keep the dog away from that
right.
kind of thing. In terms of training, that's what I mean. It's hard to train a dog not to do something. You can train them to do something. But here, dog, this is okay to chew on. And this, which is essentially made out of the same material, is not okay to chew on.
I still think that she may have slept through the fireworks, but hearing the fireworks may have caused her some anxiety that she relieved by chewing on things.
Okay.
I still, you know, if I chewed up a comforter and two pillows, I think I'd sleep through fireworks, too.
Is she spayed?
She is.
I assume. When you might want to talk to the folks you got her from and say, why was this dog surrendered?
Okay.
And they may say, well, she tore up the comforter on the owner's bed and tore up the pillows. See, we Malamute people we get only used couches.
Good, I know where mine's
for
going.
For this very reason. You know,
if, used comforter if, because I have
one. No, it wouldn't be very warm. It has no stuffing.
But we've had you know, stories the same. Not our dog, but a dog we bred once tore up the wall-to-wall carpeting.
Yeah.
Unraveled it to, it was like 3 feet high and made a nest for her puppies in it.
I had a golden in a foster home when I was doing Golden Rescue that found out he could unravel the carpeting and it was wall-to-wall. They were so nice about that. I still can't get over that.
So, but, it, you know, there are no guarantees in this biz, but in terms of training, it's hard to train, say, here's a comforter, don't chew it.
Okay.
Just keep her away. Crating is always the best thing, or if you have a room in the house that, like, with linoleum, very often kitchens are like that. With a baby gate and keep the dog in the kitchen with a bunch of toys.
Okay.
Or a peanut butter stuffed bone or
yeah.
things like that. You know, and she's, okay, so let's assume that you're the third home. She was born, she was purchased, so that's her second home. She ended up in rescue and foster. That's three. You may be the fourth home
right.
in a year. So she, yeah, maybe just a little anxiety on her part popped out.
I have to say all the mini Aussies I've met have just been the cutest dogs in the world.
Oh, she is.
Yeah. And
but they probably have their tails of destruction, too.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
I don't think you could find a person that's had a dog from puppyhood that couldn't tell something. You something.
Yeah. Right.
Well, I've had dogs chew the remote, and believe me.
I just think it's weird that
there's no comforter
the
in the world
your
worth
comforter.
A remote. That's
I guess I should be counting my blessings then, huh?
Yeah.
Well,
to a degree.
It's bad to
you got to make sure she's not eating that stuff, though, too.
Right.
You know,
but
that's,
that little,
that's
there's,
true.
There's a danger there.
Mm-hmm. Get stop her up.
All right. Well, thanks a lot.
Well, you're so good-natured.
and bless you for taking in a rescue dog.
Oh, no problem.
Okay. We've got one last caller here, and we've got maybe about 2-3 minutes tops. So we're going
Let's see how
here.
Hard
well,
it is.
Well, if Carol doesn't go on and on.
Let's yeah, go. You. Line 4, south of Lafayette, Indiana. Hi.
Yes. I've got a border collie. She's about a year and a half old now, and she's not used to having a collar or leash on much. She gets to run free on the farm, and she does have a kennel. We put her in at night. And she doesn't mind it. She had a bad experience when we had her spayed. We had her on a leash at the veterinary, and the veterinary was getting ready to take out some stitches. And there was one he was having a lot of trouble with, and she got excited, and he got excited. And she got the collar off, and she every time we try to put her on now, she just goes berserk and tries to nip and everything else. And outside of that, she's a very peaceful dog and stuff. Do you have any suggestions?
Put try a halter, yeah. harness.
A harness, if of course she'd be strong. What you can do is put the what kind of collars you use? Choke collars or stiff?
No, it's just a nylon collar.
Yeah. Put the collar on the ground, put a cookie
good.
In the middle of it, and when she goes to eat the cookie, just pull the collar up over her head.
Okay.
And two things will happen. One, you'll get a collar on her, and two, getting a collar on will be a pleasant experience for her because she'll get a cookie.
Leave the collar out by her food bowl. Mm-hmm. Any place that she goes that she likes, just have the collar there.
Okay, because as soon as she sees the collar now, she just goes.
Yeah, then I wouldn't go so far. I wouldn't give her a cookie and put it on her. I'd just leave it out.
No, you put the cookie
just leave it
on
out.
The ground between inside the collar.
I wouldn't do that so soon, though. She's a,
just
that's
get her
scary.
Used to it. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, I'd just put it on the ground, put the cookie there, and let her do what she wants. Let her eat the cookie several times before you try to do anything.
Try buying a new collar, too.
Yeah.
Okay.
Different color, different texture.
Okay. Should we force it on her?
No.
No.
You'll make it far worse.
Make it worse.
Yeah, just let her get used to it, and then one day when she puts her head down to eat the cookie, just pull it up over
like,
her head.
Let this go on for like a month.
Okay.
Have it just lying around so she's comfortable with its presence.
Okay, she might get mad and chew it up.
That's okay. You can buy another one.
Yeah.
She won't chew it up.
Don't buy one made of gold.
Okay, dokie, because she really needs to be, she minds pretty good and everything, but there's times, and I know our veterinary said unless we have a collar on it, on a leash. He does not want her back in there.
Real quick, there are leashes that are made of soft rope that kind of loop around themselves. And you can expand that as big as you want.
I've got one in the car.
I really like it. That's the best thing in a long time. Make the loop real wide, get it overhead, and it'll just tighten down. And it's not really it's collar-like, but it's not really a collar.
And let her just wear it in the house so she doesn't freak out.
Okay. Well, she's not in the house that much, but we could put her in her kennel or something. Mm-hmm. And she is an outside dog, so outside of that, she's doing really good on everything.
Yeah, when the dog has a traumatic experience like that, you just have to get her used to it again.
Yeah.
Okay. Okie dokie.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thanks. You're very welcome. And there we will wrap it up for another month. And we'll see you in August.
The 1st of August. Yeah. I heard from our neighborhood party that every month we say that. Can you believe it's the first Friday in July? The first Friday in August.
Carol Lindholm and Jim Keel. They're with the Dog Training Club of Champaign-Urbana. They join us here on the Afternoon Magazine once a month on the first Friday of the month.